Massey just said. The Second Amendment reads, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, comma, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. It is clearly a right. The founding fathers, the framers, were opposed to standing armies. They thought that those were instruments of tyranny and that militia is what should be had. And the Second Amendment was a guarantee, was framed as a guarantee that you could have a militia, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of the free state. I do want to comment on what Mr. Massey just said. The Second Amendment reads, quote,
well, I was Jerry Nadler a few days ago during a committee hearing, and then you had Representative Massey correct him that he left out some words of the Second Amendment. And the words he left out were the people. So interesting. Just wanted to kind of throw that at you this morning. Good morning. It's Bishop on Air. Happy Friday and happy Mother's Day to all of those mothers out there. Got some stuff to tackle today. We'll talk about some action at the Illinois State House concerning a new state agency that's on its way to the governor's desk and questions about how much that's going to cost, while in the background, you've got the governor directing state agencies to find $800 million in cuts, saying that his proposed $1 billion in tax increases is not popular, and they need to prepare for not being able to rely on those. So we'll talk about that. But also, we have to get to the latest in litigation against Illinois gun laws. We know we're still waiting on the Southern District of Illinois federal case, while you've got the U.S. Supreme Court having several Illinois cases and a case from Maryland go into conference. That conference is coming up on May 16th, a day after a status hearing in the Southern District of Illinois federal court. So some things moving there. But we're not looking there for the next segments. Instead, we're going to train our focus on the Myers v. Kelly case, and that's the case dealing with FOID cards, and it's in federal court, but the case had two counts. One dealt with the FOID card issue, the firearm owner ID card. The other one dealt with that law in Illinois that limits where people can file suits in state court challenging laws on constitutional grounds. So we'll get to that coming up next here with Bishop on Air. Always appreciate you guys being here each and every weekday morning. Defendant's motion to dismiss count two is granted in part and denied in part. Count two is dismissed without prejudice. Plaintiff's motion to remand count two is denied. That is a ruling from a federal judge in the Southern District of Illinois in the Myers v. Kelly case challenging Illinois' firearm owner ID card law, but also challenging the state's law that limits where people can sue the states on constitutional grounds to just two of 102 counties in the state of Illinois. Welcome back. It's Bishop on Air. I'm Greg Bishop. Thanks for hanging out. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and join us each and every weekday morning as we go through stuff that's impacting you here right in Illinois. All right, so we've been tracking, of course, a lot of the litigation against the state's gun and magazine ban, and that is something enacted back in January of 2023. Lawsuits filed shortly thereafter in state court and federal court. Some cases were transferred to federal court. In the Southern District of Illinois, you had consolidation of several challenges, and then that went up to the appeals court, and now you've got the U.S. Supreme Court being asked to intervene. While back at the Southern District, they're dealing with the merits. So all of that's still playing out. But if you recall, if you've been following along with us for as long as we've been covering these things here with Bishop on Air, you know about the Meyer v. Kelly case. And Myers v. Kelly deals with the FOID card. And let's just look at the docket here from the federal court. So you've got the U.S. District Court in the Southern District of Illinois back in July of 23, so July 24th of 2023, you have the case being moved from Madison County State Court to federal court. So what this case deals with is an individual denied a firearm owner ID card, and for whatever reasons, they challenged that, but they filed their case in Madison County and also challenged, it was a two-count challenge, not just the FOID card, that's count one. Count two is the challenge of the state's venue limit law, which there are other challenges and other courts dealing with that, and even you've got the case in state court all the way up to the Illinois Supreme Court challenging the venue limiting law, and that deals with a case concerning firearm legislation. So clearly this is an ongoing issue that is being dealt with by the federal courts. But if you look at the docket, if you go all the way down, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. If you go all the way down, you'll see that the Myers v. Kelly case, you had the judge essentially set up, ongoing orders to have discovery. Looking at, for instance, back in October, schedule of the discovery was May 31st of this year. So we're getting ready to see that happen. But then you had late last month an order being granted by the judge. Looking at count one, they're keeping that, but count two, they're dismissing that without prejudice. So let's go into this in some detail as we look at this together here. Again, with Bishop on Air, and be sure to like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell. All right, so all the way here we got the memorandum and order that the judge offered up in this case, where you had the state's motion to dismiss count two. Plaintiffs didn't respond to that motion to dismiss count two. Instead, plaintiffs filed a motion to remand count two back to state court. But the judge, as he explains in this 13-page order, grants in part and denies in part the motion to dismiss count two, the venue limiting law. Count two is dismissed without prejudice. Now note, this does not touch count one, the challenge to the FOID card. So you go through and you read a lot of the legalese and you look at what's being argued here, and the state essentially saying, hey, there's been no injury to this individual, who the individual claims to have been a person of lesser means, and having to travel to either Sangamon County or Cook County, quote, would impose a substantial difficulty for plaintiff to vindicate his rights. Also going on to say that he's not well off, is relatively poor, and suffers from a severe and substantial physical medical condition that limits his ability to travel long distances. So that was the argument in count two, saying that the state's law limiting only lawsuits going into Sangamon County or Cook County would harm his ability to defend himself or to vindicate his rights, as they say. So you go through and you read the analysis, and the state saying that the case should be dismissed. Instead of replying to that motion to dismiss, the plaintiffs, those who are suing the state, simply put in a different motion, tactfully, using this tactic, they just put in a motion to have it remanded back to the Madison County Court. So the legal precedents, all the citing of previous cases and looking at, court rules and such, the judge goes back and forth between these various arguments. But here's just some I'll read to you and what the judge ultimately found here. It's also noteworthy that while subject matter jurisdiction and by extension standing cannot be waived, plaintiff presents no responsive argument whatsoever on the pressing issue, and that's about standing. Does this individual have proof that they're currently being harmed? Not just supposing that they could be harmed, but do they have proof that they're actually being harmed? And the plaintiffs present no responsive argument whatsoever in this pressing issue. As stated above, plaintiff merely tepidly asserts if defendant is correct about this court's jurisdiction over count two, it's back to state court we must go. In any event, the court now agrees that plaintiffs presently lack standing to assert count two. Defendant has taken no action. And this is what's important here. The state took no action in state court before this case was transferred to the federal court. The state as defendants took no action in state court trying to move the case from Madison County to Sangamon County. As such, plaintiffs have not suffered an injury, the judge says. A transfer of venue from Circuit Court of Madison County to Circuit Court of Cook or Sangamon County. By extension, plaintiffs have not suffered the harm of which he complains, namely a constitutional violation or the financial and physical burden of traveling to Cook or Sangamon County. So it hasn't happened yet, essentially, is what the judge is saying. And that's what the state is saying. They're saying that there is no injury that the plaintiffs can allege because the state has not moved forward with that. So it goes on to highlight various other cases, and it says, by virtue of these conclusions, the court need not address the alleged mootness of count two. Also, the court stresses that it has not, and indeed it could not, opine on the constitutionality of the count in the absence of subject matter jurisdiction. Likewise, the court takes no position on whether, on a different record, standing could be established to challenge the law. So what we have here ultimately is a judge deciding that, count one is still moving forward. So May 31st, discovery is going to have to start happening. And this, again, is challenging the firearm owner ID card law in state court. And I'm not an attorney, but just reading this and presenting it for you so you can try to, follow along with me. I mean, it's always interesting how litigation evolves and progresses, right? I mean, this started in state court with two counts, was transferred to federal court, and now they're looking at dismissing the second count. So the first count stays in federal court, but the second count is not being remanded back to state court. It's just simply being dismissed. And Nakuda says, blah, blah, blah. A lot of legal words all in throughout these documents. And hopefully, just giving you a little bit of an overview here helps you better understand where these cases go, how they can evolve, and where we're headed to next. Again, they do have discovery due by May 31st. 2024. So we'll see how that plays out. Dispositive motions are due by June 30th of 2024. So this case is seemingly moving forward, at least on the FOID card issue, not on the court jurisdiction question, which there are other cases, even in state court, all the way up in the Illinois Supreme Court, I believe, that are having to deal with these questions. So we'll be watching all of that. It is Bishop on Air. I'm Greg Bishop. Thanks for hanging out on this Friday. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell, all right? Make it happen, folks. Governor J.B. Pritzker tells Illinois state agencies prepare to find $800 million in cuts for the looming budget. You've got state legislators creating a new state agency to deal with child assistance. So what's going on at the Illinois State House? We love doing a roundup for you to get you plugged in so that, listen, you got jobs, you gotta work. Our job is to be on the ground and report out to you. So be sure to go to thecentersquare.com and find Illinois and see what's going on at the Illinois State House. Be sure to also like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and why not also go to Illinois with the Center Square, donate and register for the newsletters. All right, so if you go to thecentersquare.com, you'll see a bunch of different headlines every day updating that for you, looking at things from a taxpayer's perspective. And right up top there, you'll see that the Freedom Caucus in Illinois is saying, "We told you so," about $800 million in budget cuts. So we got wind of this, and I was able to obtain a copy of this memo from the deputy governor, Andy Menar, to state agencies. And this was a letter that was issued on Wednesday. So it says, you know, first, thank you for your agency leadership. Goes on to talk about the budgets that was presented in February and the continued support of the governor's mission for providing strategic investments to balance the state budget. As we continue to work with the General Assembly partners to pass our sixth consecutive balanced budget, they say, it's become clear that opposition to proposed revenue, this is important, opposition to proposed revenue is significant enough to direct agencies to prepare for the possibility of reductions to proposed spending. This memo will describe a fiscal year 25 base revenue adjustment as well as next steps for agencies as we make final preparations to get a balanced budget before adjournment May 24th. Now, state legislators have until May 31st to pass a balanced budget with simple majorities. After May 31st, then it has to be super majorities that support the budget in order for it to move forward. So looking at more of what was said in this this report, this memo, you've got the governor's office talking about the proposed budget and different types of adjustments. The state's revenue base, approximately $1.1 billion. These proposed adjustments largely pay for spending that was set into motion in fiscal year 24. So again, continuing programs that were set into motion this current fiscal year. For example, fully phasing in and accounting for the total cost of the Medicaid omnibus bill that impacts both fiscal year 24 and 25. Fiscal year 25 begins July 1st. And as a reminder, the governor's budget proposal increases spending by a mere 1.5% over the current fiscal year. However, if you look at others, you know, who want to point back to several years ago, I remember when a budget was $32 billion in the state of Illinois, and that was considered a lot. Now we're looking at a proposed $52.7 billion. So that's quite an increase. But regardless, the governor's memo goes on to say that, you know, they're going to have to tighten their belt. So the Department of Revenue and the governor's office completed a detailed review of revenue performance through the end of April based on the data not available in February, and will be revising base general revenue fund forecasts upwards by approximately $295 million. Details on the revision can be found in the latest report. However, the revision is not enough to offset the need for additional revenue to support the proposed balanced budget. Conclusion, they say the governor believes his proposed balanced budget introduced in February best reflects the priorities, and the governor will not sign an unbalanced budget, the memo says. Therefore, we must prepare to implement a potential balanced budget scenario with $800 million less in available revenue. While we do not know what specific programs would be impacted should the General Assembly choose to not pass the revenue package, we think it's prudent to prepare for the possibility. All right. So what are these tax increases that the governor's office is proposing here? If you remember, and you've been following along, the various proposed tax increases deal with sports betting, business losses, and even a credit that retailers get. So if you go to thecentersquare.com, you'll find the article and read about the proposed tax increases. One being doubling the state's tax on sports betting companies. It's estimated to increase taxes around $200 million. There's also a cap on the tax retailers' discounts for retailers, acting as the tax collector for sales tax. It's expected to increase taxes by $101 million. An adjustment to the individual income tax standard deduction, estimated at $93 million. But the big one was the cap on the net operating loss deduction for businesses, and that's estimated to raise around $526 million. So these were not popular. The retailers, for instance, they pushed back on the idea of capping the discount retailers get for acting as sales tax collectors and remitting those taxes back to the comptroller's office. I mean, that takes manpower, that takes infrastructure, that takes time. So the retailers get a discount for that, but the governor wanted to cap that discount, bringing in money. Then you get the business groups that are upset about the change in operating loss deductions, and that was a big one. So clearly a lot of different ideas to raise more taxes in Illinois, but the governor's office admitting that it's not popular. So therefore, we must prepare, as the governor's memo says, to implement a potential balanced budget scenario with $800 million less in available revenue. Now, it goes on to talk about keeping in mind federal ARPA funds. Those are the COVID dollars. Make it, with the end of that money, make it impossible to sustain many programs without additional revenue. In addition, please consider that much of state spending is tied to entitlement programs or spending related to consent decree compliance. And finally, as your agency prepares to the impact of $800 million in potential spending reductions, please focus on grant programs and other discretionary spending that has increased in recent years. So here we are. We've got a handful of weeks before May 24th adjournment. They have to pass something by May 31st, and they do have a bunch of contingency days after May 24th to go all the way throughout the rest of the month. So while the governor's office is saying, hey, be mindful, we need to find $800 million in budget cuts, the Freedom Caucus says we told you so. And Republicans, even after the governor's proposed budget in February, they were essentially screaming from the rooftops that it's unrealistic and the tax increases are not sustainable. Illinois taxes too much already, they say. And the Freedom Caucus, and I'm sure other Republicans as well, saying, we told you so. But all of this, while you've got in the background, again, another story at thecentersquare.com, a bill creating a new childhood state agency with unknown costs ready for the governor. The governor late last year, he proposed a new early childhood program that would lump in all of these different types of funding programs from DCFS, from the State Board of Education, from the various other organizations within state government. Anything dealing with early childhood development would be put into this new agency. And here's a little bit of the back and forth yesterday on the House floor whenever this was brought up. Again, you can see this at thecentersquare.com.
Programs will stay in their current
agency. This is State Representative Mary Beth Canty. You'll hear from State Representative Blaine Willhauer. You'll also hear from State Representative Will Davis and Stephen Reich.
It outlines that all early childhood programs will stay in their current agencies for the next two fiscal years, being fiscal year 25 and fiscal year 26. And it moves early childhood programs such as the Child Care Assistance Program, early intervention, home visiting, early childhood block grants, including Preschool for All and the Preschool for All expansion, and daycare licensing into the new Department of Early Childhood on July 1st, 2026.
What we're doing here, guys, is we're creating a massive bureaucracy. We have no idea what it's going to cost the taxpayers. We're not exactly sure what we're going to do. Apparently, we have to pass this bill to be able to see what it actually does at the end of the day. And, you know, I just think that it is inappropriate to create an entire government bureaucracy without knowing those important things, especially when there's nothing keeping this from happening right now. I don't think anywhere in the history of government, especially in the history of government in the state of Illinois, have we created a bureaucracy, especially massive bureaucracy, and it worked out well for the taxpayers at the end of the day.
I anticipate that we may even see savings in this. Right now, we're spending money in four different agencies. So as we start to consolidate this, you know, you'll have one director. That obviously will be a state employee, and that director will have you know, some other people underneath them working to make this happen. But again, when you're spending money in four different places and you have the opportunity to bring it possibly under one roof, and spend it in that one way, I think there are some good things that come out of this.
Every government agency exists to expand its authority and expand its budget. As H.L. Mencken said, the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamoring for safety by creating a series of hobgoblins, most of them imaginary.
So, interesting debate. Democrats later on asked the sponsor if there are any hobgoblins in the bill, to which they said there are no hobgoblins. But yeah, the initial cost of this, it's going to take 2 years for it to fully implement into a new state agency. Initial cost is $13 million, but they couldn't pinpoint how much that would actually ultimately cost down the line. But some of the programs that would be lumped in under this new state agency for the next fiscal year, the Department of Human Services program, it's going to cost $466.7 million. You've got the State Board of Education early childhood programs for $786.8 million, and the Department of Children and Family Services has for daycare $60.5 million. So that's a fair amount of money, close to what, $2 billion? You're rapidly approaching for this new state agency. It wouldn't be new money, but still it'd be under a new state agency. Something else to consider, whoever takes over the agency is going to make $215,000 a year by law. So that's some of what's going on at the Illinois State House. You've got both chambers off today, the House back late Monday, both chambers back Tuesday, and then it's going to be a sprint to adjournment to try to piece all of this together with the $800 million less in a budget that the governor proposed in February. So rapidly approaching that. So go check out all the rest of the headlines at thecentersquare.com. Also, later on this morning, be sure to check out Illinois in Focus. All right. Illinois in Focus, weekly podcast for you to stay plugged in to what's going on in Illinois. All right. So appreciate you guys being here each and every weekday morning here with Bishop on Air. And it's something I'm humbled by to see you guys in the chat room regularly sounding off. So really do appreciate you. And be sure to like, subscribe, and well, it's the obligatory hit that notification bell. All right. I think that's like somewhere in a contract. I have to say that. Is that right? All right. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. All right, guys, I'm getting out of here. Have a great weekend. Shout out to Save the Humans, Warsaw, Terry, Nakuda, Festus, Titus. Who else we got in the chat room? Dave DeHunter, several others. You guys definitely chatting it up this morning on a Friday. Hey, today, the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability has a hearing where they're going to be taking up the proposed closures of Stateville Correctional Center and Logan Correctional Center. We may have to review that when we come back on Monday. But hey, wish me a happy birthday. Tomorrow's my birthday. It's wild. Looking forward to kicking back and relaxing with some friends and family. So, also, happy Mother's Day to all those mothers out there. Mom, if you're watching, happy birthday. Love you. And we'll see you soon. All right, guys. Have a good weekend.